Hello, we're reading from the from Shamati 25, Things That Come From the Heart. Can ask questions on our website and answers will be answered here during the lesson. So, Shamati, Article 25, page 80. Regarding things that come from the heart, enter the heart. Hence, why do we see that even if things have already entered the heart, one still falls from his degree? The thing is that when one hears the words of Torah from his teacher, he immediately agrees with his teacher and resolves to observe the words of his teacher with his heart and soul. But afterwards, he comes out to the world, he sees covets and is infected by the multitude of desires roaming the world. And he and his mind, his heart, and his will are annulled before the majority. As long as he has no power to judge the world to scale of merit, they subdue him. He mingles with their desires, and he is led like sheep to the slaughter. He has no choice. He is compelled to think, want, crave, and demand everything that the majority demands. He then chooses their alien thoughts and their loathsome lusts and desires, which are alien to the spirit of the Torah. In that state, he has no strength to subdue the majority. Instead, there is only one counsel then, to cling to his teacher and to the books. This is called from the mouth of books and from the mouth of authors. Only by cleaving to them can he change his mind and will for the better. However, witty arguments will not help him change his mind, but only the remedy of dvikut, adhesion. For this is a wondrous cure, and the dvikut reforms him. Only while one inside kedusha, sanctity, can one argue with oneself and indulge in clever polemics that the mind necessitates that he should always walk on the path of the Creator. However, one should know that even when he is wise and certain that he can already use this wit to defeat the Sitra Achra, the other side, one must bear in mind that all this is worthless. This is not an armament that can defeat the war of desire. For all these concepts are but consequence he has attained after the aforementioned vikut. In other words, all the concepts upon which builds his building, saying one must always follow the path of the Creator, is founded that vikut with his teacher. Thus, if he loses the foundation, then all the concepts and powers, since they will not be lacking the foundation. Hence, one must not rely on one's mind, but cleave once more to books and authors, for only that can help him, and no wit and intellect, as they are lifeless.
These are pretty clear things according to the order of the degree. We have a chain of kelim, souls, which are called souls, neshamot. Or in our world, these are Kabbalists. And through these kelim, we receive everything that is given to us from above. That letter does not change. It comes to us from Adam HaRishon, the first one to have revealed the Apophors. And from him this whole chain is coming away until the entire humanity will discover the Creator and will cleave unto him. It is like a cone from above. This is how it cascades below more and more. And this is how the upper light also comes to us, the Chochmah, the light that reforms. Also the raising of man and the bringing down of mud, it all comes through that change, because it is all one system. Therefore, we should cleave to all what those great ones have left for us, to respect them, appreciate them, like the Creator, to the same extent, and even more. He writes about it someplace, that even more, that we should appreciate them even more, all those great ones. And therefore, adhesion in authors and books. Authors are the origins of wisdom, human beings, and the books, this is what they left for us. This is the main thing. If a person tries to develop the importance, the appreciation for such sources, then certainly he is drawn to them. Then certainly he wants to be close to them. It helps him. It helps him reach adhesion with the Creator as well. Also from appreciating them, and also from wanting to connect to their words. This is how it goes. Any questions? Or perhaps we should read it again?
We always study that the environment is what has to uplift the person.
Into what?
In order to bring him to a state where he can keep uplifting.
But what the environment is holding on to?
From the force they receive from the books and the Rav.
Okay, so this is what he says.
So my question is,
the environment, that's good, that's an amplifier, but what does it amplify? The letter has to be, and holding on to the letter also, and then the environment, which connects you to the letter, to someone, and then through the environment you can receive. If you're not connected to an environment, then you have no connection, none whatsoever, with the letter, because your vessels and the vessels of the letter are opposite. You are next to the letter, but your kelim, in order to receive, and the letter is entirely in order to bestow, so there is no connection. There has to be an adapter between you and the letter. That adapter is the group. And through it, when you're integrated with it, you adjust yourself with your kelim. When you already take upon yourself the form of bestowal, if you're included in that environment, and to such an extent you are connected, included with the letter, whose top, whose head reaches and sof, infinity. And then, the more you are included in the group, to such an extent, you can activate your man through the group, meaning for the group, because this is the prayer of many. How will you pray if not for the group, if you are dependent entirely on that amplifier, which determines how much you are connected to the letter, to the light of Ein Sof and back? So it's not a problem of how much you yourself want to, don't want to Such desires are given from above. But your work, where is your free choice? It is to the extent that you connect yourself to the group and that desire you're given. You're not the landlord over your desires, but you turn it according to your exertion into the form of bestowal. And then that desire joins the letter. This is how we work. Yes?
Dima from Diev is asking, why then Bala Sulam mentioned the group in this article?
There's hardly nothing to speak about here. If you don't work in that, then you have no kli. So there are a few articles that speak about the group. It is known from the days of Avraham. He was the first Kabbalist who needed a group. Before him, as I understand, Kabbalists didn't feel any need for it. There wasn't this thing of chibur, unity yet, which is so obvious. Rather, their grip in spirituality was from such pure kelim that they didn't have to connect, to unite. Although, well, perhaps we'll learn about it once, sky and heaven, all those things, but it is still in the form of, in terms of roots of the evil inclination. And therefore, I think we're not talking about it there. Avraham was the first Kabbalist who needed a group, and although he himself was of a spiritual attainment, but he is the last link of that change of Kabbalists of 20 generations, and he is the first, he is the father of the nation who started organizing a group. A nation is called a group, Ummah. And therefore, ever since we have this concept, it's impossible to do without it. And the more we advance, then the groups become, well, at first, the plural of many, the list of plural was two. And there were periods where it was more or less, but eventually they were all be as one congregation, one unit in the revelation of Mount Sinai, meaning in a period of time where they were in the will to receive of Egypt, then it was really necessary. The whole group had such necessity, meaning the whole of the nation of Israel had the necessity to reach that concept of the group. What are the conditions in Mount Sinai? Conditions of a group to be one man with one heart. They shall help one his friend. Don't do to others what you yourself hate. Love thy friend as thyself. Be in mutual guarantee. All of Israel are friends to each other. These are all the conditions that relate to the group. So what is the nation of Israel? It's a group. Yes?
Joseph from Jerusalem is asking, well, he's asking, what is Rav's advice for a person who wants to reach the Dvekut in his teacher?
I will say something simple. Cleaving to the Rav is cleaving to the words of the Rav, of the teacher. I'm very much afraid of Hasidism, where people come, kiss your hand, give you gifts, and respect you, and so on and so forth. I don't need such external expressions. I don't think it is useful, both for the students and myself. Rather, everything has to be very much to the point. They need to respect me as a teacher, but the main thing is what the teacher is saying. And that too needs to be scrutinized and clarified, and not to agree to it immediately, rather to examine it and scrutinize it. But after the scrutinization, once it is clear to him, to you, that this is his opinion, you have to nullify before his opinion, his reason. Not to agree to it in the beginning in order to perform a scrutiny, but after you have scrutinized it, and once you know that you're in favor or against it, you accept it, and that's it. That is what it means to respect, to appreciate the Rav, the teacher.
There's another request for advice from the Cholon group. They're asking for advice now when we go out to the outer world after the convention. How should we behave?
What does Cholon want? I don't know. We have to behave in our external clothing towards the external world. Person has many clothings he puts on himself. There's worries with himself. Inner than that is where he is with the Creator. And then with the group. Then with the people close to him, his relatives, and the world. The group, I mean all our friends in Israel and the world. There are different levels of connection. So we need to differentiate between all these levels of connection. We need to differentiate too. Everything that relates to the soul, which is myself with the group or groups and everything involved, and everything that relates to the matters of the body, which is me and the external world. I'm not talking about dissemination or something external like that. Dissemination and all, it's also a part of the internal part. But the external part is how I relate to the rest of the world, where I'm regarded as just an ordinary person, and there I have to behave exactly like everyone else in a normal way, not to differentiate myself in either way, for better or for worse. I asked Rabash many times, well, not many times, but I asked Rabash about it, and he told me how he used to work in paving roads, how he used to work in the IRS as a clerk. He didn't want to be outstanding in anything. He didn't want to join all their philosophizing about things. So he said that he has to go to sleep. He has this health problem. He has to go to bed early, something like that. And that's it. I think that one should hide what you're dealing with in where you work. People shouldn't know about it. You shouldn't be particular. It's very complicated, very complicated. This is the pride and control and such urges in a person. They always play with him, or the Creator is playing him through all that. One should really learn how to behave in a simple manner, to behave like everyone else. Where is Zoe? It's not here. Oh, he's upstairs, okay. So we need to ask our actors to prepare a workshop for us. Where is he? Ah, Chup, here you are. We need to show them a few examples of how not to jump and show everyone, everywhere. Well, we need to show them that we're exactly like everyone else, that we have no particular color or appearance of our own.
I think that the question he asked was more about what you said yesterday, one of the last questions in the workshop, that now that we're going out into the world and mixing.
No, he's asking about our behavior towards the others. How do I protect myself, you mean, right?
What I understood is like what you asked yesterday, how we keep the bitul, the anomen, the same level of responsibility and seriousness, that same internality while we're going out and collecting those outside disturbances.
I think that other than being responsible for the group, a person really has to feel that he's responsible for everyone else, and that's true. Everyone depends on him. And the moment he falls down, the moment he's weakened, that determines their state. So that should give him the strength of persistence. Well, responsibility, it's like in the army, where you feel responsible for your mates. It's like in a commando, you're fighting next to others, they are next to you, and you are responsible for each other. There's this kind of an inner feeling that one cannot survive without the other. Don't know which words to use, but such a feeling exists when people work together. Yes.
Continuation to that, also about the preparation. There's a question from a student from America. Is there a way that we can keep doing the corrections without going through the descents?
Avoiding the descents? Of course. What do you mean? The fact that I avoid the descents, it means that I turn them initially into ascents. Then I perform an overcoming. The fact that we cannot do without a descent, it means that we're going to have a descent, but I will take it differently. I will relate to it differently. The fact that an additional will to receive will come to us, certainly, but I'm prepared to receive that will to receive positively. It won't weaken me. Meaning, I'm already in such a preparation, when the will to receive comes my way, I go out in its direction to accept it as something precious. What does Bala Sulam say? How happy is about the wicked which are revealed? Because these are the kelim in which he will discover his advancement, his further advancement. And if a person is afraid, it means that he didn't equip himself, he does not have the right preparation. Of course, those things are there. We have to go through anything, meaning to feel everything, but the fear from a descent, from falling down, fear, well, any kind of fear is the lack of preparation. Yes. If I understand his question correctly, he was asking about the way how to reach such a state you have just described of a preparation before the additional avyut that will come to us. You also gave advices in the preparation. Can you elaborate?
So we just read, the best thing is to always be busy. Divide your time according to necessity. My whole life, I'm on duty. That's it. There are times where I decide what I'm busy with, and there's times that the others decide what I'm busy with. And there's times for everything. Really, for everything. It can be the most personal or the most general, external. But it all has to be divided. And then there's no problem. You know, this is for this, and that's how you work. You're like a machine that must execute these actions, that with them, you know you are realizing yourself in the best way, the most efficient way. Is that it? Yes, Nari.
What is the law of things that come from the heart, enter the heart? How is it related to this article? He starts with that.
Yeah. What he says is, well, let's say, if two hearts are connected, so why is there a disconnection? If you and the Creator are in a connection, why is there suddenly some kind of malfunction? Because the extra desire is revealed. And we need to yearn to state that even though that the addition of desire was just revealed, there won't be a disconnection between us. And that is all by preparation. When we prepare ourselves like this, that even when that addition of desire shows up, there's already a correction for it. And that addition of desire with the correction becomes an even stronger connection. That's it. That's what is recommended. To equip yourself in advance with powers of bestow that come through the Torah and the study, that you'll be equipped with an extra masach right away. It all depends on the preparation, as we say. Okay? I see everybody here is full of Torah. Yeah, Niv?
These are questions from the weekly social committee. But what we did before the Congress, we had this exercise of the group of 10 people. Should we continue with it?
I think, yeah. Because we didn't reach some summing up about this. We have to continue until we really understand if it works or not, change up the tens.
So today we're switching groups of 10 people, and we already sent a new list.
Sure, please.
Now, this is a question that came from all over the world and many times. Same question. In all the groups in the world, clearly there are big gaps between all the friends. Some come to the lesson every day and keep all the rules, and some don't. And in the world, clearly the gaps are even bigger.
We need to mix up everybody. I hope that by that you will know each other better, and suddenly discover between the friends that, you know, people that are here in the back, or maybe you've never even talked to people around you here for a few years, that you'll know each other better, and know that in each one of the friends, how do I say it? It's a great spiritual asset. And he might be quiet, maybe he doesn't really know how to say anything, maybe he just seems... But when you just start being close to him physically, then you start discovering how full of spirit he is. That's great. It helps you with appreciating your society, appreciating the group. And all in all, it really strengthens. I think that very good results will come out of this. We're going to get a group that's much stronger than it is now. And even, except for that, there's also you can see yourself as being in all kinds of circles that in the group, yeah, it's worth it.
Another question that repeats itself. It happens many times that in the group of 10 people, there are friends who hardly respond. How can we awaken them? Should we demand the participation of everyone? And what does it mean to participate?
What do you do in your tents?
Usually, well, we went on a general definition and every group did it as they understood. So some friends are more active. They try to awaken the group of 10 people in practice, as you advised, and some don't. So the question is about that. Those three friends.
Bring questions today about this whole deal. And it might be a topic for our workshop. Oh, there's no workshop today. Maybe there should be. If you're for it, I don't know what's happening there with the fire. Yes.
So that's the question. Let's say 20% of the group of 10 people are active, and all the rest are not. Is it supposed to be this way?
No, but if you're a 10, so you have to force them to act too.
That's about it. These are the two points that kept repeating themselves.
What is that 10 for? Because then you see just many people that don't participate. They're just there. And in the groups of 10, you can shake them up, make them a bit more active.
The questions are all about that, of the active part or inactive part.
Okay, take all those questions, collect them, send them to me in the mail, and we'll think about what to do with it. I want to see them. Yes, Akoka.
About the next phase after the Congress, there was a very strong feeling during the Congress. I talked to many friends, also during the workshops. On the one hand, your questions were seemingly, you said they were seemingly simple, but they were very not simple, the questions you asked during the workshops. And we didn't have an opportunity to give an intellectual answer. We always had to find an emotional answers. And if we did not have such a feeling, it was best to keep silence. So I'm trying to understand, in sense, there's this feeling that we have made a major step forward.
Because we touched the point of Dvikut. We didn't open it, but but we touched it. And that point is, spirituality is only a feeling. The mind, the intellect only works as a calculator, an organizer for the feelings. But our whole material is a desire to receive. It's a feeling. Yes.
So what is that new work we have now entered?
It's up to you if you've entered it or not. I'm warning you that it won't be some... We have moved to a new gear, shifted to a new gear, and we have to constantly keep ourselves that we are under a really close and tight providence that we have to discover, because there's none else besides Him. What are we clinging on to? On to His providence, to none else besides Him. If in my life there's not one moment that can disconnect me from being with an inner feeling that everything that happens, I receive it from the none else besides Him, and He turns around and controls everything I feel inside, from all the phenomena I feel inside and outside, that it all came from Him, and the bad and good feelings are same for me, everything's for the good, that the good and benevolent is about everything. About the good feelings, I say good. On the bad feelings, I say and benevolent. Double good. And if I hold on to that, this is already the beginning of annulment for now. According to my degree of aviut that is revealed.
Why are you saying that you warn us in entering such work and that it depends on us?
I'm warning you that you don't think that that's it. It's time to rest. After a convention, I'm taking time off because we worked hard. So have some mercy, you know. And then a few days later, you'll feel, I don't know what state you'll find yourself in, I don't know where.
No, it's quite the opposite. There is no feeling of rest. There is a strong recognition from the Congress. Every Congress, you come and wait, now something's going to happen. Or here there is this recognition that we're going through a certain process in order to delve deeper.
Well, okay, good. So now, an even stronger shift has to happen.
So what depends on us that every moment, every opportunity that we have together, that it will be we entering into this new gear even more, so that we won't have to wait for a gathering once a month.
So that's what I said. That's what I just told you, what we have to do. That there wouldn't be one moment to be disconnected from the providence, from an inner feeling that everything that happens inside me and around me, even if there's nobody, supposedly we already need to see the things as more abstract, that there is nobody. There's my desire that feels like this or like that, and I make a calculation with it. It has to feel upon all the good and bad, the one who controls it, the force that works in me, in my desire. That's it. We think that that in spirituality there's a lot of different states. No, nothing. It's the same zero or one like in a computer. But because it is revealed, a bit more light, a bit less light, on top of the desire, which is the opposite, more or less desire, that's how the light appears, is more or less. And according to that, come infinite changes. But altogether, it's... you have to always be aimed at, like he says in that same letter he wrote, Yisrael lo ra'ita kodesh b'rich uchadu, there's no other work. You can add the group, study, all kinds of things. Although more and more things are clothed on it, but altogether, it's a very simple and to the point. Yeah? Where are you from?
The young group.
Oh, young group.
About what you said, if I hold on to the none else beside him and it is good and benevolent, in that do I keep the mutual guarantee, the ravut?
If you want to hold on to enod milvado and the good and benevolent, you will have to take part in the avut, because the avut gives you the power to hold on, to hold yourself in some kind of direction, in a spiritual direction. Avut lets you, gives you powers to hold yourself in a state where the desire to receive won't give you power. I want to think about this pipe up here. Do I have some kind of attitude towards it? No. Something? No. How? Why? Constantly remember it. Next moment, not thinking about it anymore. And even more, if we're talking about spirituality, so I have a rejection from it. Because the true spirituality is bestow and loving the others. Of course I'll forget about it right away. And my desires constantly change and grow. So of course I forget. So I need some forces on the side, a society, that with the force of Avut will press on me. So I won't forget about that pipe, about something that I have no attention or relation to from my own desire to receive. That's it. We are going to the next part.
Now we're moving on to the next part of the lesson from Zohar for All.